Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
I don't believe in must-win games, but we know this time of year when you're on the bubble, it's either you have to win or you can't afford to lose. So what's the difference, right? That's just the way it is. And we have to play as well as we can, put ourselves in a position to win.
Great to have you. It's Tuesday. Maryland is in town. And PBA going to be rocking in a little less than 2 hours. Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. That March to Madness cranks up, heats up. It's been real, but it could get real interesting with tonight's ball game. Can tap the line, Schillingbridge Court can tap house. Let you do that, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can dial us up, can find us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio or at Hail Varsity, and email Chris at HailVarsity.com. We'll talk to Mitch Sherman, some Nebraska football, some Husker hoops in 15 minutes. Man who's watched Maryland a ton. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. He is all over Nebraska basketball in a good way. He loves what Nebraska's doing. We'll get Rick's thoughts tonight. Also, Rick's thoughts on the selection committee, and Andy Markowski, the pride of Ord, the postman for Nebraska's really solid golden era of Nebraska basketball. Mr. Markowski with us in hour two. You can join us. So tonight, the stakes are high. The percentages are out there. I'll tell them to you in a minute. But here is what you need to know. According to ESPN.com, ESPN's Basketball Power Index, the matchup predictor says Nebraska has a 58.1% chance of winning. Gives Maryland 41.9% chance of winning. I'm going to just throw that out. And what's kind of the random take? They're due. Right? Let me ask you this. Is Maryland due for a road win? Is Nebraska due to have an off night? Now, as a Nebraska basketball fan, you don't want to hear this. It's earmuff time. But, and maybe you've moved on from being the Nebraska basketball fan that thinks something will or could go wrong. You like this team that much. And I like this team a lot. Love this team. There's nothing they can't do. There's no matchup they can't figure out. Are they Duke? Are they Carolina? Are they Villanova? No. But I want to see it. Absolutely want to see Nebraska against the best of the best. You've seen them against Sparty. Didn't go so well. Different team. You've seen them against Michigan. The team that's okay and should be in, according to the latest bracketology breakdown. And then you saw them play better, but not great, against Purdue. But can Nebraska get to New York City unscathed? And Maryland has been a mess. Maryland right now is a basketball team that I don't know if their window's shut. I like Coach Turgeon. I think he does a nice job. They've got some players. They've been injured. But Maryland's 17-10 and 6-8. And Maryland's a basketball team right now that has some studs. They'll scare you. They'll absolutely scare you. They just beat Northwestern, but they've lost to Penn State by 4 on the road. Okay? They lost by 8 to Purdue on the road. They've lost to Indiana by 3 on the road. See the theme here? They've lost to Michigan by 1 on the road. They're that guy. They are so close and have been unable to close, unable to seal the deal, unable to get a lot of quality wins. does it happen tonight for them? Why would it if it hasn't in the past? They've been close. They've been so close. I think Nebraska is going to be ultra-focused. I think they're geeked up for this matchup. I think they know, while it's not quite in that signature realm of Michigan, it's extremely important. I mean, the last breakdown here when it comes to Maryland, and this was from the ESPN stats folks, you win this game, your chances to get into the tournament creep up to about 60%. You win tonight, Nebraska now, in maybe in some circles, moves from that first four out to last four in. You lose this game, excuse me, your chances of getting in to the NCAA tournament are knocked down to 21%. Meanwhile, if you're Maryland, you've been scuffling. You're at 17-10 right now. You get to 18-10. You're a game under 500 in conference play. You got a slew of close losses. You finally get one against arguably the hottest team in the Big Ten. Your chances of making the NCAA tournament 72%. So it's there for the taking, and I like the title of it, a leverage game. And you've got some big boy basketball going on tonight. It's not quite an elimination Tuesday, but it goes a ways tonight. Is Oklahoma really a 4 seed? Well, they're at Texas Tech. Is Tech a 3 seed? I've seen them both play at their optimum level. When they're on, they're great. They've been off a lot, except against Kansas. A&M, Missouri. Missouri's won 4 in a row. They've won at Bama. They beat Kentucky. A&M's fighting for their life, and they've just suspended their 2 best players. Virginia. They're still number 1, even though they lost in overtime to the Fighting Turkeys, or Hokies. Miami, they're a team that should be in, but they're another spot in the ACC. If they fade, does that open up a spot for an extra Big Ten team? And Miami lost at home to Duke. This is the signature they can't let slip through their fingers with Virginia coming in. And Nebraska rounds out a great Tuesday of basketball hosting Maryland. So, Nebraska, Maryland, it is a leverage game. The winner right now stays alive, survives, advances, continues to be able to play their way into the tournament. The loser, it turns into Jimmy V and, you know, 83 NC State. You have to win the whole thing in New York City. The loser, I believe, will have to do that to get in. Well, here is Tim Miles on Maryland. More on the Terps. We kind of told you the stakes tonight. They're high. They're extremely high. They're so high you should be on your way to PBA right now, ready to crack a beer down in the rail yard. I have no clue. I'm not in charge of scheduling. Why in God's name this thing was slated to be tipped at 6? Are you having fun trying to get out of work early to get down there? I don't know why it's a 6 o'clock tip, other than they're an East Coast team and God forbid they get home a couple hours later after midnight versus an 8 o'clock. But here is Tim Miles. Here's kind of the lowdown, the skinny. I'll have more thoughts in a second on Maryland.
Well, we're getting ready for Maryland, and Maryland's an impressive team. First of all, we're the underdog. I mean, you look at all the metrics, and they're a higher-ranked team in a lot of different places than we are, and so we're going to be up against it. I know Mark has played a very, very difficult schedule this year. You look at their talent. You know, they've had some injuries up on the front line that have hurt them, but you look at their talent, and it's real. I mean, Maryland's still really, really good, even though they've got some guys that aren't with them.
Okay, there's step one into a win tonight. Brainwash your kids into believing you're the underdog. And I know Maryland's looked upon more fondly. They've been ranked higher. They've been rated higher despite their conference record because they have a better resume. And that's what is counting out Nebraska across the board. Across the board are those metrics. Well, this would help the resume. Nebraska's biggest strength right now is wins. Wins, wins, wins. It's the biggest asset they have. The more Nebraska keeps piling up wins, getting to number 20 tonight with a chance to get 23, the better. And I think there'll be some reconsideration. I think there'll be a number with – listen, we've all whined about where the Big Ten tournament is schedule-wise. Well, this will be, since it's early, a chance for some of the folks on that committee. And I think Rasmussen will be there in person. This will be a chance for that committee to see Nebraska and Big Ten teams in person. And it'll be a chance to see them in person and maybe help sway, not sway, but offset some of the metrics. That'll be good. That's one positive here for the Big Ten. So let's talk about how Nebraska wins tonight. We'll get Andy Markowski's thoughts. We'll get Rick Pizzo's thoughts on that. But one thing Maryland does, two things Maryland is really good at. One is three-point shooting. Two is getting to the rim, getting foul shots. And Cowan is somebody I'm wondering how Nebraska comes at him. Are they able to stay in front of him? Are they able to keep him from the free throw line? Are they, more importantly, able to stay out of foul trouble if you're Palmer, if you're Watson, if you're Gill, if you're Evan Taylor? I think Evan Taylor is going to be huge tonight trying to D up. And I know that Cowan's a little bit taller, but Evan's your best defender. Evan's got to be big. If you have a guy that's as good as Cowan, get his points, but it's not efficient, which is what Maryland is, that's a win. Herter is also big time, 6'7", three-point specialist, along with Nickens. So it's going to be the yin and the yang here. Maryland's number three in the conference at three-point shooting. Nebraska's tops when it comes to shutting down the three-point make at 31%, somewhere in the middle. But foul trouble, three-point shooting. And the other thing with Nebraska, the common theme, the common denominator with Nebraska basketball when they've been on this run, when they've been good, they have pressed things to their liking. They've either exerted some pressure or they put pressure on opposing teams by kind of kicking up the tempo. They get in a good rhythm. Sometimes they take stupid shots in transition, but for the most part, they get in a flow and James gets to the rack or there's a drive and kick. And it's all been started also with Roby's emergence. Not just what he's put up point total-wise, but he's the guy that'll get the rebound, can take it, he'll dribble it, and then he'll get a layup, he'll get an assist, he'll get the offense going. That is your key tonight. Can Roby, doesn't need to go for 19, 10, and 8, but does he stay where he's at in that good airspace against a talent like Herter? Does Roby get into foul trouble? Nebraska's not doomed if Roby's not like the Roby's been the last two games. They've shown the ability to win without him and Gill scoring. But this is a big game. Roby's been told how great he is the last couple of games. I'm not saying he's going to get a big head, but I'm saying if he struggles early, does that confidence disappear? Because you've seen it appear the last two games. And it's been a really slow burn and build for his confidence to kind of hit its zenith and him play super free. If he can just kind of continue to do what he's been doing, you can always lean on Palmer. You got Copeland. Do these two other guys press a bit is my question, with Palmer being from Maryland and with Cope being from he's from Raleigh. But, the Georgetown, Maryland rivalry thing, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but you don't want guys to press. That's what Nebraska has not done in this win streak. They have not pressed at all. They've been playing very free. They've been good teammates with one another. They've done the little things, and that's help on defense. They've rebounded the best they could. They've taken way better care of the basketball. So we'll have our predictions coming up. But that'll be a key here for Nebraska. We'll get into college football attendance and why it's fallen. Interesting little troll job CBS did with a picture of Memorial Stadium on this article. We'll get into that. Andy Markowski's coming up. Mitch Sherman will join us. More from Coach Tim Miles and his thoughts on the game ahead. Rick Pizzo will be with us. You can find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or email us, Chris at HailVarsity.com. Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Court, can tap house. Let's do that. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. It's a monster game, big-time game. Nebraska's lived up to that opportunity time and time again. Can Nebraska continue to play their way into the NCAA tournament? Or does the music stop in this instance with Maryland? Does Maryland find a way to finally? I mean, they've been drilled twice on the road. One was by Sparty, similar to what happened to Nebraska. It was a bad loss. But Maryland's been right there. They've been right there against some teams with records that Nebraska's already beaten on the road. And Nebraska, hold court, hold serve. Your biggest advantage tonight is you, the sixth man at PBA. I know you'll bring it. You're hoping Nebraska brings it. Just keep playing. Don't stop and realize what you're doing. Keep after it. And I want to see how Roby performs in a big game tonight, as everyone's been kind of stopping and going, wow, that kid's great. Mitch Sherman's next. We'll talk some college football with Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Love getting caught up with Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and magazine, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Hopefully you read his latest story, Phase 2 at Nebraska, frost fever, and I have not bumped into anyone, Mitch, that doesn't have frost fever. Have you?
Well, you know, outside of the state, you know, it's not nationwide yet, but seen plenty of people, bumped into plenty of people, talked to plenty of people who were infected by frost fever over the last 2 months, and, you know, I think the events of last week, with the spring game selling out in just over a day. Of course, the work that Scott and his staff did on closing out that recruiting class have only added to the frost fever, if that's what we want to call it. I don't know if it's the official name for what it is, but it's just overall an infectious attitude of good favor around Nebraska football.
Great favor, and you put all the events together, like you mentioned. What's been your impression from Bill Moose's reaction on frost? Is there surprise to it? I mean, obviously AD Moose is happy, but what was that like kind of reading him and his reaction to how the state's kind of responded to this new hope with Nebraska football?
I think, having been here just since October, that he's still getting a sense of what, you know, how the state reacts to different things, and this is obviously a different kind of circumstance that Nebraska's in with, really, ever. I don't know if there's ever been this kind of excitement over a coach being hired at Nebraska, and it sounds like a preposterous statement to make, but, you know, Tom Osborne was promoted from Bob Devaney's staff, much like Frank Solich on Osborne's staff. There was a lot of excitement, tremendous excitement, when Bo Pelini was hired in 2007, but I think that most would agree what we've seen with Frost, the anticipation, and then everything that's happened since his hire has outdone that. So, you know, really, as excited as Nebraska fans have ever been in the history of the program about a coach being hired, I can't speak to Bob Devaney's hire, but I think just because of the nature of people now and the rabidness with which they follow Nebraska football, that was pre-beginning of the sellout streak, of course, back in 1962. So I think this one takes the cake, and you know, Bill Moose is grasping that like really everyone is. You know, him being new and from the outside, he doesn't have the perspective of necessarily of watching this thing up close over the last 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever your perspective is as a Nebraskan. And, you know, so it's sinking in, soaking in. And, you know, I think he's really enjoyed so much that has happened in Lincoln since he made that move. Didn't enjoy firing Mike Riley, but since that time, since the end of November, really it's been a lot of positivity for that athletic department.
Mitch Sherman's with us, ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. His story is you can catch on ESPN.com, and it highlights this frost fever phase two at Nebraska. And the spring game sold out, and a rock star coach. And what do you think is the reason so many fans have? It's not just hope, but there's faith attached to the hope. Why do you think it's going to be okay? Why do you think fans think it's going to be okay?
Part of it is they just want it so badly to be okay. I mean, it's been so long for Nebraska, as you know, we document in that story how, and of course, Nebraska was the predominant program in the country for 30 plus years, from 1970 all the way through 2001. Really, Nebraska won nearly 30 games more than any other school out there, and it just hasn't been that way for a long time now, close to two decades. Nebraska's winning percentage is 29th in the country since that 2001 season, and people just they want that to be different so badly that they believe, they have hope. And then it really, as Eric Chenander said in that piece, the stars were aligned, everything was aligned for this hire to create the kind of enthusiasm that it has, really in a way that's unlike almost anything we've seen in college football. I'm sure you could find an example out there of something similar. But definitely at Nebraska, and really most places that you would go and seek examples, you just don't find things aligned the way they are, where everyone from the administration to the students to the alums, the general fan base all wanted one person to get hired as the coach, and he got the job. So I think that has fostered so much of this hope and belief that it's going to work out. That, in addition to what Scott has said and listening to him talk, I've heard from a lot of Nebraska fans who they just love what he says. And Scott does have a knack, and I think it's because of his long connection to the program. He does have a knack for saying things that he knows that Nebraskans and Nebraska fans want to hear. And I think he believes them. He wants to say them. He's not saying them to get praise, but he connects on a level with Nebraska fans, unlike his predecessors going back to Frank Solich and Tom Osborne.
It isn't a script, is it? I mean, it's pretty genuine from him because he lived it. And I think that straight talk, as you mentioned in the story, really connects, and it reassures a lot of Nebraska fans. Interested your take here, and you've been covering college football a long time. The Frost arrival, finished off with a really good recruiting class in comparison to the excitement when Saban came to Bama, when Ohio State got Urban, when Michigan got Harbaugh. Does this surpass that? Do you remember back when those changes were made at those various programs, kind of that pulse on college football? My memory says, okay, Michigan has been super amped, and now they've had a reality check with an 8-5 season. Ohio State's still crushing it. I mean, they upgraded as good as Tressel was. They got a younger coach that's won titles. And then Bama, I mean, they weren't anything close to what they were. They'd been through three or four coaches before Saban came on board.
Yeah, Bama's the one in some ways that's most similar to Nebraska, and that's not to even hint that Scott Frost is going to be Nick Saban 2.0.
Sure.
But they had been through a long period, a long drought. You know, you have the specter of the legendary Bear Bryant that just loomed over everything around that program. And, you know, while he wasn't at Nick Saban's side, certainly wasn't a mentor to Nick Saban in the way that Tom Osborne has been for Scott Frost. I think there are some parallels there, and the enthusiasm that Alabama fans showed in 2007 with the hire of Saban, I think is somewhat similar to what you see here. And they sold out the spring game that year, like Nebraska has done this year, 90,000 plus, and you know, it just took off from there. You know, it was a dream. It's been a dream scenario over the last decade in at that place. So, and then the Harbaugh one is similar, of course, in that he was the former, you know, the former star quarterback at the school. And I would say that in the way that Frost has generated excitement because of that aspect of his past, Jim Harbaugh did the same thing. But there were differences. You know, Jim Harbaugh came in with a lot of bluster, you know, with the reputation that preceded him as an NFL head coach. And, you know, his every move was dissected, not just on a local level in Michigan, but really nationally, because of the way that people were interested in him and interested in his family with a brother who was an NFL head coach. You know, it went beyond in some ways. The microscope went beyond in some ways what we've seen with Frost. But I think the enthusiasm among the fans of the school was pretty similar. And Meyer, you know, that's probably a different one altogether. But again, the one place where you can see that it's similar is that the Ohio State fans, of course, could not have been more excited when he came aboard.
What did you think of the recruiting class, Mitch? You've covered recruiting as well, and finishing 22nd, I believe, composite numbers, and finishing really high compared to where they were. Any kids that kind of stick out to you that you're excited about for Nebraska?
Well, I think they did really well at the offensive skill spots. You know, I've heard a lot of talk about Maurice Washington and Miles Jones. Those two guys in particular seem like such great fits for Scott Frost's offense and the offense that we've seen from Oregon to UCF. And, you know, it remains to be seen, as it always does in recruiting. You know, everybody who's been around recruiting for a long time, I think, all starts to sound like a broken record. And I don't ever want to get in a situation where you're proclaiming this class to be the savior of the program. I mean, Nebraska would be defying the logic of college football if this is as good as it gets for Scott Frost and his staff's ability to recruit. I think they're going to do better next year. That's almost always the way it is. It's the way you want it to be. If you follow a program, when a staff comes in and has as short of a period of time as they did to recruit, yeah, you want to laud that. You want to hope that the results, you can laud those results. And I think there are plenty of guys in this class that are worthy of that. But you know, the thing to be equally excited about is looking at what they did and what they were able to accomplish, even with an early signing period. You know, it generates a lot of excitement for what's going to happen next year when these guys have 12 months to do it. And, you know, I think that is something to really look forward to over the next year.
Mitch, about 45 seconds, Nebraska-Maryland basketball tonight, kind of a knockout game. How you feeling about Nebraska's chances?
Well, good. I mean, I feel good about Nebraska's chances in all of these last four games. It's just when you start to stack the odds on top of each other and say, okay, they've got a 70% chance in this one and an 80% chance in this one and a 60% in this one, then it starts to become, you know, long odds to go 4-0. And it's more than just 4-0. It's winning the games that they've already won in this stretch. You know, winning those road games at Wisconsin and Minnesota and coming back home and having the long layoff for that Minnesota game, all of it stacked on top of itself becomes really difficult for these guys, but they've done a great job to this point in just taking it one game at a time. So, you know, I think if they continue to have that attitude, then there's an opportunity there for them to win out. And, you know, I've heard every side of the speculation, you know, they need to go to New York and win another game. And I find that difficult to grapple with. I really do think that this group, if they end the season on a 9-game winning streak, the regular season, and take care of their business and win 23 games, 14 in the league, they're going to make it in. You know, it won't be a slam dunk. It may not be a lock, but I think they're going to make it in, and they can really do what they need to do here in the regular season and seal their fate for March.
Mitch, we'll get caught up next week. Awesome stuff. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Yeah, good to talk to you as always.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Yes, we do, Kramer. Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone, and you. Thanks to Mitch Sherman. We spent time to start the show off about Nebraska, Maryland. Does Nebraska get it done? Does Maryland change character and grow up a bit and win a road game that's going to be tight, going to be tough? We get to the phones here in a sec. Can tap the line. Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House. Let's do that. 466-3776 800-825-5865. So, we'll spend more time with Andy Markowski on Nebraska, Maryland. We'll plan that. Rick Pizzo's coming up 15 minutes away or so. Get his take on the matchup, get his thoughts. Really good rundown, and we'll hit on this, time permitting, today, maybe tomorrow. And I get a kick out of this because I got the old holy grin from Junior with this at one point. And it's a few years back when he was trying to grow some teeth in, so there were spots. Looked like somebody told him to play catcher without a mask, you know. And he was trying to work grandma and then me and then mom for a new pair of shoes. Surprise, surprise. And he wanted to know if we'd like to invest. Well, Vogues wrote a really good story on futures and teams that you could invest in. And where's Nebraska going to be 10 years from now in comparison to Oregon, in comparison to Oklahoma? And really, where's Nebraska going to be at in comparison to Wisconsin? So we'll talk with Pizzo about that. Other college football-related story that I want to get into is attendance. So CBSSports.com, Dennis Dodd, has been on the show before. The Twitter picture, along with this headline, college football heads in the wrong direction, with the largest attendance drop in 34 years. And at Memorial Stadium. And the social media backlash is like, what? How are you putting that headline out there with this iconic stadium, with this fan base that just went Pearl Jam on the spring game? Or Jay-Z on the spring game? Day and a half gone. 90,000 see you in April. So I don't know if he changed the graphic where you got a passed out college football fan here, but the attendance has dropped. Okay. No shocker. The sellout streak continues. It's alive and well. Thank you, businesses, for making that happen. Because the students sure as hell weren't there for Ohio State. They weren't there for Iowa. I don't blame them. It was going to be an act of crime committed against your beloved Huskers, and it was. 56 hung on you. No more with Frost. So I got to ask you here, viewing habits, Colton. Let's talk. There's a handful of things that are set. It's on someone else's timetable. College football being one. Kickoff at 7, kickoff at 11, kickoff at 2:30. There are your choices. Mm-hmm. You can DVR it. Maybe you can show up late if the beer bong's flowing. I get it. But it's not going to move. And it's not something you can watch on your time unless you DVR it. But most of the guys and gals coming up in college now, that's your thing. It's convenience over maybe the live event, aside from like going to a concert. Mm-hmm. Okay? Football still falls into that. And your peers, your fellow students that are your age, the time and place and growing up in Nebraska and being a Nebraska football fan important to you. You've expressed that. Mm-hmm. So you'll always be there for the game, but some of your peers may not be. Has that shifted? Do you think it's more rabid now with Frost? And I think you'll see a bump next year. And in 2 years, your schedules are going to be pretty good for Nebraska with their home games. Now, maybe not so much next year, but your overall schedule's murder. You'll have good games. You'll have attention. That's the question here with college football is the NCAA and the powers that be are trying to figure out what to do from a viewing habit standpoint. And you just got to go because you want to be able to experience it live. Is there still a pretty good element that likes the live action versus, well, I'm just going to throw on Netflix here and watch on my time or check out a podcast on my time? Do you think it'll swing back to knowing that there are just some things that you have to kind of go to see?
I think a lot of it relies on how the team itself is performing with students.
Sure. Thank you. Right on.
In the time. The weird thing I say with that, though, is I did go to a handful of the games last year, and, you know, it was scarce.
And the other ones you didn't go to, you were working.
Right. And you look at some of, you know, the crowds and, the students aren't there. But the weird thing was is when they went 5-7 my freshman year, every home game I went to was, like, the student section was packed. So I think
a good home schedule too.
There was that, and there was that fact the games they lost were so close that you didn't know what you were going to get.
You'd already made your call post Wisconsin
last year. It was kind of like, okay, this team knows what it is. It is what it is.
And we know what they are.
Right. And I think there is now with like Frost coming in, there is, as you see, like the spring game being sold out, there is that like demand. More so, I think, to go.
There's an interest. There's an excitement.
And I think that's kind of what it was even Mike Riley's first year is, you know, this is something different. You don't know what you're going to get. And then by year three, you knew what you were going to get. So I think with it being the first year and it being Frost, if it starts going really well, the students, they're going to fill it up. I think the only one you ever worry about is the last, if Iowa's here or the last game of the season's here because it's just cold as hell.
No, it's brutal. But man, have you ever got? You've grown up going to cold games, haven't you?
I mean, I went to the 2015 Iowa game, and that was this last one.
Yeah,
and they both were.
They're brutal. But I'm saying pre college, did you?
Yeah,
you froze your ass off at a lot of games.
Oh yeah,
it's your rite of passage.
You just have to.
As a Nebraska fan, and you want to see the opponents changed, the time of year not so much. And the stature of the game, what's hanging in the balance? Yeah, a lot's changed. Are you going 8-4 or not?
Mm-hmm.
And you hope to get that shifted. So, bottom line here, the Big Ten had a whopping 0.001% drop in attendance. So it ain't the Big Ten that's checking out. In fact, Purdue had banner breakthroughs with their attendance. Nebraska was always pretty good. Penn State's Penn State. Michigan's numbers were decent, despite their season. Ohio State's going to go 100K strong every home game. So the Big Ten was good. The SEC, though, and the ACC, the warm climate areas, said, forget about it. We're going to stay in tailgate. Don't even need a fire or a gas burner. It's warm. We'll wind down hour one. Rick Pizzo coming up. Andy Markowski on the way. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Yeah, I got an email to read from Brett, chris@hailvarsity.com, regarding sliding attendance in college football. And I know you've checked out, some of you as Nebraska fans, when things went down the hole. This is not a shaking the finger moment at you. I completely understand. AgriGold is there for you. You notice that different soybean sign in your neighbor's field this year? That's AgriGold. Customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm. The AgriGold way, with high expectations of every seed that goes into the ground. And the approach to soybeans, no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. For more info, visit AgriGold.com. Rick Pizzo's 10 minutes away. Thoughts on Nebraska, Maryland. Thoughts on what teams Nebraska can square off against and be as good or better than in 10 years. 10 years. It's reference to Brandon Vogel's hot reads this morning on what you're investing in. What college football programs are you investing in? We'll hit on that a little bit more tomorrow. Special in-studio guest for 2 hours, our favorite Viking, Jeremiah Searles, going to be in studio. So excited to have him in for both hours. I will shoot one kneecap of his with a trank dart, so he can't go anywhere. We got him for the 2 hours. That's good. Back to the email. This from Brett. Watching on TV is better. It's fun. Road games are a blast. You go to somebody's house, drink their beer, eat their food. I get it. Pet their dog. Watching on TV is better. I don't have to sit by run the ball guy. That may have been me in a past life. Or sack him every single play guy. Yeah. Or my ass is too big. I'm talking to you because I'm in your seat too guy. Brett bringing the fire today. Brett's email. Not my words. Listen. That's part of the charm, though. It's a little family. I don't remember the people, but I remember sitting by the elderly couple on the West Balcony Stadium. White hair, white mustache, him and his wife, every single freaking game. They're there. It was awesome. And they'd share a blanket. That was great, too. During the Oklahoma years, the Gary Gibbs era. Now, they didn't share the flask with me, but Pops got in there, which is impressive. But I get it. Sitting at home, it is convenient. TVs are gorgeous. But Big Ten fans, I tip my cap to you that your attendance didn't drop hardly at all. Everywhere else, I mean, yeah, what's the number here? Total attendance down 5.3%. That's everybody else. It isn't the Big Ten. Rick Pizzo's coming up. Get his take on Nebraska-Maryland tonight. What he thinks of the eye test versus the metrics. Nebraska-Michigan. Could it come down to that to get in? And does Nebraska keep playing their way into the dance? We'll talk about it with Pizzo. Eddie Markowski is coming up, the pride of Ord. Husker standout, tournament man for a number of years with the Big Red. That is on the way next hour. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big Ten Buffet time. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, joins us at BTN. Rick Pizzo is where you find him on Twitter. Rick, it's thawed out here, which is a good thing. How are you, man?
Life is good. It's been really good the last 3 days when I haven't spent a minimum of 90 minutes shoveling the walkway. It was insanity here for the better part of a week and a half. A
lot of basketball tonight. PBA will be rocking. Tip-off at 6 o'clock. Big Ten Network. Maryland, Coach Turgeon. The Terps invade a really good squad that's just had problems on the road. A lot of close road losses for Maryland. Nebraska is hot. They're rolling. They want to keep winning here. Rick, what sticks out to you about this one? What is an advantage for Maryland? And give me an advantage for Nebraska aside from the home court.
Well, I think the home court is the biggest advantage. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think Maryland has won a Big Ten road game since early December when we had their early start of Big Ten play. They won in Champaign. I think they're 0-6 since then. Now, they have lost some close games recently, close game to Penn State on the road, close game to Michigan on the road, but it's a team that just can't quite get over the hump. If they have an advantage, it's down low with Bruno Fernando, a young guy who is a freshman in age in class, but if you look at his body, he is built like a grown blank man. So that's going to be where Maryland can do some damage. I think Nebraska matches up really well with Nebraska's two best players, who are Kevin Herter, who can be guarded by length, which Nebraska has in Palmer, which Nebraska has in Roby. Nebraska probably doesn't want to put Copeland on him because Herter's a little bit quicker. But then you look at their really best player in Anthony Cowan Jr., and I think Nebraska has guards that can at least limit Cowan. I don't think he explodes. I just don't think that Maryland on the road is going to be able to provide enough energy and defense to keep down arguably the Big Ten's hottest team right now. I know Nebraska's schedule has not been murderer's row as of late, but they're getting the job done, and they're getting it done. What's impressed me the most is they're getting it done in a variety of ways. High-scoring games, defensive games, games where they've been in control, and games where they've had to pull it out late. I think all of those things going to make Nebraska a fairly sizable favorite tonight.
Versatility has been the key this year for Nebraska, Rick. You're right. They can win different styles of games with different lineups and different guys given them minutes. Jordy's bounced back really well since his brief hiatus. Roby's continued to explode. We'll get to the mock selection that came out this weekend in a minute here. But what's your take on Roby? I mean, I've seen tons of highlights that you've narrated, you've delivered, and each time, each game, there's just been a nice, steady progression. There's been this trend upward. What's your expectation of Roby from afar, from the Big Ten offices? What's now a good game for Roby?
Well, it's interesting because as he develops, the trouble is that James Palmer Jr. at the same time is emerging as a first-team All-Big Ten player. So there's only so many shots to go around. You also don't want to eliminate Watson or Copeland or any of the complementary pieces from the offense. And I don't think that anyone on that team, probably save Palmer right now, is good enough to take a game over. Roby can take a game over in parts of a game, but not for 40 minutes. I think only Palmer is the guy right now that can do that. You don't want to stunt Roby's growth, and I think this is a really delicate situation for Tim Miles because you need to play the lineup and you need to put the ball in the hands of the players that are going to get you to the tournament this year. And yet at the same time, the flashes that we've seen from Roby, which to your point have become more extended as of late, show us that he needs to touch the ball more often. So there's that fine line, and sometimes when you're watching from the outside, if Roby doesn't have a big game scoring, you think, well, this is another one of those games where he went into the tank, when in reality, he may be asked to rebound. He may be asked to defend. He may not be asked to score in certain situations. So I love where his development is at right now. I think it takes a quantum leap forward next year, especially when he believes how good he can be, and he believes that at the start of non-conference play. But I think right now it's a very delicate mix for Tim Miles. How much do you want Roby to be a guy that can be the alpha dog at times when you probably need JPJ to be the alpha dog every minute he's on the court?
Yeah, and right now from a role standpoint and a chemistry, I think the guys are just playing. They're not worried per se about shots. They're probably more worried about whoever's taking it that it goes in. I think there's that type of attitude right now. Not that it's, well, I got to take the shot, versus, okay, there's a tip in, let's get it to Roby, let's find Watson, let's find the matchup. I think they're more concentrated on exploiting an opponent's weakness and going to town that way. Okay, Rick, the eye test to me, and I've watched a lot of college basketball, and Lord knows you've covered a ton as well. The eye test to me says Nebraska's, you know, 68 worthy. They're one of the best teams in college basketball. I know they've not beaten up on vintage Wisconsin's, vintage Minnesota's. Rutgers is in there twice with a couple of wins for Nebraska. So Nebraska's doing things that Nebraska typically doesn't do, and that's win on the road and kind of, you know, stomp out some opponents. That said, with all the things they have, the talent, the versatility, the depth, the tempo, you name it, I think they could match up and play well, and they're deserving at this point to be an NCAA tournament team. What do you lean on most, man? Are you an eye test guy, or are you a resume slash metric guy? The combo is the answer, but if you had to pick, which one do you lean?
Well, unfortunately, I'm an eye test guy because I think I know a little bit of basketball.
Sure.
The problem is, I think the committee, and I think we saw this in their release, they're still relying a lot more on metrics. They're different metrics than they've relied on in the past. They're not relying as much on RPI as they have in the past. And this new breakdown of these quadrant wins where an opponent on the road, if they are top 75, if you are at home, your opponent needs to be top 30. That's considered a quadrant one win. And then they go down from there. Quadrant two win, maybe over a top 50 team at home, a top 100 team on the road. So they're basically trying to take the human element out of it. I don't like that. I like the human element being in there if the human element is being determined by educated people. That's what's happening with the college football playoff right now. Inside that room with the college football playoff committee are a dozen or so individuals who are, for the most part, football people. Now, there are a couple of people who even things out with metrics, but the majority of the decision makers in that room know football inside and out and want to decide on the four best teams based on what they see on film. I understand that 68 teams is a big difference from four. You cannot watch all 68 to the same extent that the college football playoff committee watches four. But at the same time, put basketball people in that room. Don't give me just ADs and don't give me executives and people that are going to look at these quadrant ones and metrics. They can factor in as well, but I want a smaller group of basketball people making these decisions. That's how you're going to get the best 68. And if there are basketball people in that room, you cannot convince me that right now watching Nebraska, this is not one of the best 68 teams in the country, because it clearly is.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet with us, Hail Varsity Radio at BTN, Rick Pizzo on Twitter. Rick, who's the best in the Big Ten right now? I know that Sparty just won at Purdue. Purdue suffered a couple of losses. According to the quadrant release, Ohio State, who's leading the league, is a four seed. You tell me, who do you think's the best team right now as we're close to midweek in February? Who's the best in the Big Ten in your opinion?
Right now, the best team in the Big Ten is Ohio State. Right now, the team with the most talent and the most upside in the Big Ten is Michigan State. And right now, if I had to pick which Big Ten team would make the Final Four, it's Purdue. So it's one answer, but it's three-pronged, because I think Ohio State has been terrific, but I think someone in the postseason will figure out a way to slow down Kata Bates-Diop, and I'm not so sure that the rest of those parts, when you get into the tournament, can lead that team to four consecutive wins to the Final Four. I think Michigan State is the most talented team. Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson are lottery picks, but they have issues with turnovers, and for the first time in a long time this year, with some rebounding and some effort on the glass, those are two things that will kill you in the postseason. I know Purdue lost twice this week, at home to Ohio State and on the road to Michigan State. Close games. They played well, but not great in either. I think it's something to learn from. I think those losses benefit them, and I still think they're the most dangerous team. Quick turnaround, trying to match up with five guys who can score, tons of experience. They take care of the ball and they share it. That's why Ohio State's the best now. Michigan State has the most potential, but Purdue would be my Final Four pick.
Rick, if it comes down to Michigan and Nebraska, say Nebraska wins out but doesn't get a signature win in New York, and say Michigan doesn't make much noise, they end up with 22-23 wins. I know they've got a win at East Lansing. I know they've gotten some better resume numbers. Does Michigan get the nod if you're in the committee?
Yeah, I don't think it comes down to give you a little caveat, I don't think it comes down to those two teams, because I think Michigan is pretty safely in at this point. If you were going to ask me if I was sitting in the committee room and I had to pick between one of those two, then Michigan is the better team on paper. Yeah. I mean, they have more quality wins. There's no argument about that. If they had the same look down the stretch and for some crazy reason the committee felt like it was 68A and 68B, I think Michigan would get the nod, but I don't think you get anywhere near that situation. I will say this, and I have said this over and over and over again to anyone who will listen. If Nebraska finishes with 23 overall wins, that would be 14-4 in the Big Ten. There is no way on this planet that you could convince me that a team with 14 wins in the Big Ten Conference and 23 overall is not a lock, regardless of what happens in the Big Ten Tournament. Because remember, if they get to that mark, they are guaranteed to be in that Friday quarterfinal. They'll be the four seed and no worse. So you cannot convince me that that team is not in. I don't care about resume. I don't care about anything else. 14-4, the number four seed or higher, and you get there to the Friday quarterfinals in New York, Nebraska's in the tournament no matter what happens on that Friday.
Rick, interesting topic from Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity. Just tremendous writer for us, and he's talking about future investments, the next 10 years of college football. I know you have your crystal ball at home, right? And
every day, do you?
Yeah, let's go put some heat down, right? Nebraska v. Wisconsin in the next 10 years was one of the questions. And you know, I'm not in Madtown, but I know what Coach Alvarez has done, and it's that Nebraska blueprint. But within the next 10 years, does Nebraska surpass what Wisconsin's doing?
I think they catch them.
Okay.
I don't think they surpass them. So I was looking at that article, a great article, by the way, remarkably entertaining and a great thought-provoking piece. I think that Wisconsin-Nebraska could be on a level playing field within the next 10 years. I think that is a fair assessment. I think that'd be a good thing for the Huskers because that means you're competing annually for your division championship to get to play for the Big Ten championship, and that's more than you've had on a consistent basis since joining the Big Ten and clearly in the latter years of the Big 12 as well. I think Scott Frost, as I've said many times, is clearly the right guy, but Wisconsin's formula is so repeatable. It's like that great golf swing. You might not hit it 350, but every time it's in the middle of the fairway 275, and there is nothing wrong with that. Ask your friend Jay Moore. He would take 275 down the pipe every single day. That's what Wisconsin does. I'm not sure Nebraska gets to that level of consistency, but I certainly do think they can get to that level of success.
Well, we'll bother Jay next week because he's going to be down in Arizona this weekend showing off that consistent 305,
yes,
of course, he's got down the middle. What about Nebraska-Oklahoma? You got two of the youngest coaches. Lincoln Riley's, I think, 36 years of age. I didn't like how Lincoln Riley finished against against Georgia. I think they got kind of wacky with some of their play calling. I don't know if that was something that's going to change or if that's, you know, rubber stamped. He's going to be that unpredictable. I did like how Scott Frost was composed and kept the foot on the gas pedal against Auburn. I don't know talent-wise if Nebraska can equal what OU's got, but I think from a consistency standpoint, I think Nebraska can be right there with Oklahoma, maybe nudge ahead of them. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they could be right there with them. I think it's interesting because the changing landscape of college football, it's tough to compare two teams that are in the same geographic footprint but are in different conferences because they really don't have the same recruiting bases. It's fascinating. I think Nebraska and Oklahoma now will overlap a little bit more often because I think that Scott Frost will be able to have more success nationally, and that's obviously where Bob Stoops did. He didn't just live in Oklahoma. I mean, he didn't just live in Texas. He lived in a lot of different places, and Scott Frost is going to do that, I think, more so than Mike Riley, more so than Bo Pelini, and so then there does become a little bit of crossover. I actually think there's going to be more competition for the top recruits between those two schools than there's been in recent memory because the coaches are so similar, because you have these young, great offensive minds that may be trying to recruit a slightly different player, but the same type of player is going to have an appeal towards and from those kind of coaches. So I think that's going to be a really interesting, especially on the recruiting trail. Obviously not so much on the field since they don't see each other, but I would love to see that rivalry renewed with those two young coaches once they get into the recruiting battles that I think they're going to get into. I think that could be fascinating.
Got them 2021, 2022 to relive the game
love
of the century.
Love to see it coming back.
It'll be good. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. Rick, you're awesome. Thanks for a few minutes, bud.
Thanks, Chris. My pleasure as always, buddy.
Gotta love the buffet with Rick Pizzo and all over it. We'll get caught up with the Pride of Ord. Longtime stand-up for Nebraska basketball, Andy Markowski. Up next, his thoughts on the Terps. Hail Varsity continues.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to be back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, getting cranked up down in the rail yard. PBA going to be electric for an earlier tip. The Pride of Ord, standout captain, went to the NCAA tournament a lot. Andy Markowski with us at Markowski_Andy on Twitter. Mr. Andy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Schmitty. Yourself?
I'm a little PO'd, to be flat out honest with you. This thing's tipping at 6 and not 8.
Yeah, it's very abnormal. You kind of get lulled into the 8 p.m. Big Ten Network start, and hopefully it's on everybody's radar that they're going to have to get down and engage in the festivities a little earlier to be ready to go for that early tip.
That was diplomatic. Engage in the festivities. I mean, it better. Yeah, that's about right. I mean, you need that six-man advantage, and I wanted to kind of get your take before we dive into Maryland and Nebraska. It was Hall of Fame weekend last weekend, and you had Rutgers come to town, and Nebraska could have won that thing by 20. They ended up winning by 12. But I want to focus specifically on Roby picking up where he left off. And he stacked two really good games together. And over this win streak, he's averaged 12 or so. Do you think he's turned the corner? Now, you can have a bad game, yes. But overall, is he ready to be that third or fourth double-digit guy? Do you think he's arrived?
Well, certainly he's playing more consistent. You know, I still think as talented as he is offensively, you know, he's a stat filler. You know, he's still a compliment player, meaning, you know, he's not drawing the best defender, you know, which is great for Nebraska. I mean, obviously, teams set up to take Palmer away, and then they're probably, you know, trying to figure out how do they contain Watson, and then they move to Copeland. Mm-hmm. Whereas Roby, you know, is getting a matchup that's favorable for Nebraska. You know, I still think there's times that he can disappear and teams can take him away because he's not a great shooter yet. You know, he's still, you know, lacks some strength, but that's being, you know, hypercritical. He's just a sophomore, and he's made a huge jump in terms of the consistency, because there's times last season, you know, everybody talked about that potential, which is a scary word because there's still guys out there that haven't met their potential. But he's showing, you know, things that you saw last year, things that Coach Miles and the staff have spoke to over 2 years. But I think the biggest thing for him is he's healthy. You know, last season, you know, the early part of the season, he was not healthy, and you take away that practice time and that development time, that can affect the how you play. You know, this year he was healthy in the fall, you know, had some success in non-conference, and now he's confident, and you know, he's a handful, and he's certainly fun to watch when he attacks the rim.
Andy Markowski is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Husker Hoops standout captain, part of the tournament run with Danny Knee in the group, and the Pride of Ord, Nebraska. Do you remember that moment where your confidence flipped in your career?
Yeah, the game, you know, specifically, I don't remember, you know, exactly when, but you know, there was this time that, you know, we were playing UConn, my 97, you know, before they won the national title in NIT, and the game started to slow down. It was the last game of my sophomore year where you really felt you were seeing things prior to them developing. So, you know, you had moments like that. But, you know, for me, it all moved fast. You know, it was a high level where I had to play my tail off just to compete physically. But it is, you know, things do slow down. You know, you get confidence, and more than that, you know, when a coach has trust in you, and that takes a while for that to happen. You know, young players tend to have a short leash where, you know, you'll make a defensive breakdown or you'll take a bad shot and you get pulled out of the game. And when you start to develop trust, you feel that. And I think Roby, you know, just speaking to him, I think he knows he's starting. I think he knows he can play through a mistake. And that's a big moment in a career when you know the coach has your back and he's not going to pull you out for silly things.
Andy Markowski is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. You're too modest about yourself, but I like the trust talk. And I think Nebraska fans, Nebraska basketball fans specifically, have a lot of trust in this team. There's maybe the the perception of kind of waiting, you're holding your breath for something bad to happen or the other shoe's going to drop. And I'm not saying this team's perfect, but they've survived a lot of moments the last few games, specifically on the road. They've always had an answer. And let's dive into Maryland a little bit here. What sticks out to you about Maryland? And kind of give me some keys to victory here for Nebraska here. Do you think it can happen again? Can they keep playing their way into March?
Yeah, certainly. You know, this team has played at a high level. Nebraska, they've been consistent. They've been a very good home team. And a lot of the games that they've played outside of probably Michigan State and maybe Purdue, I felt like we've had the best players. I mean, and that's been a long time, you know, since I've seen that. You know, if you look at the 96 Nebraska team where we had four NBA guys, you know, you look out there and we've been more talented. Maryland is a team that we are not going to be that much more talented than. They have some kids that are big and strong and athletic. You know, Maryland's issue is they're young. You know, they're going through some of those growing pains. They've played, you know, a much more difficult conference road than Nebraska has. But they've played Michigan State to within, you know, 8 or 9. They've played Purdue to within 6 or 7 two different times. So they're immensely talented. They haven't been a great road team. They've lost a lot of close games where Nebraska has been the opposite. We've figured out a way to win some of those close games, Chris, as you alluded to. But tonight, you know, I think Thomas Allen or Anton Gill is going to have to play, make some shots. Anton has really been struggling because I think Maryland has some athletes to slow Palmer, Copeland, and probably control Watson a little bit, where look for some of our ancillary players. You know, a Jordy that's going to have a hard matchup inside against Fernando. But I think for this team to win this game in the Penn State game, we need Gill and Thomas Allen to come in and make threes like they've done in a few road games that's been able to get us over the hump. You know, Vegas has this, a one-point game, so that tells you the respect they have for Maryland with Nebraska, you know, I think only losing one game so far at home this season.
I think you nailed it, and you look at that Rutgers game back on the road and what happened. Well, Nebraska got hot, and then Minnesota. I mean, everything was falling. They were lights out, 8 for 11 from three-point land, and Gill was hot. Now, Gill's threes were going down when you already had a double-digit lead. I have yet to see him hit some shots in crunch time in a back-and-forth second half type setting. I think he can totally do it. I mean, I think he's good enough to do it. But also, you're right, Thomas Allen. And I think of the Kansas game, and I think of some big threes he hit in the Minnesota game on the road at Rutgers. They have some guys that are absolutely confident to do that. A thought here on Gill. Why do you think he's struggled, in your opinion? I don't think he's taken bad shots. He's taken the shots he's been brought in to knock down. Why do you think he's been off?
Yeah, you know, I was at the Rutgers game Saturday, and you know, he is getting a lot of shots off of the attention to the other players. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he was one of seven, maybe from the three, 1 of 6. And all of his shots were good shots, in rhythm, step-up threes, you know, the shots that he's capable of making. You know, to pinpoint exactly why he's not making, you know, I'm not sure. But, you know, he moved into the starting lineup, you know, so he needs to be a player that if this team wants to play themselves into the tournament, you know, he's a senior. You know, these are the moments that seniors and juniors have to step up. You know, I think Evan Taylor has really stepped up and made some big plays in late games. I think he's bought into his role. Mm-hmm. You know, I look for Gill kind of being that next guy to really help, you know, contribute his part and his role. You know, if this team needs to, you know, whether or not they need to win 4 in a row, you know, I still think they have room for maybe one mistake in the conference season, but then they have a chance to win, you know, another game in the tournament. But Gill is a big factor, I think, of that success because, you know, the Big Ten's well scouted. They're not going to let Palmer continually score 25 to 30 points. I mean, teams are going to figure out a way to slow him down and make other players beat him.
And he got about 3 minutes here, a little less than. Copeland's role is what? Does he need 18 and 10 tonight? Can he be 12 and 10, but that same type of 5 or 6 efficiency? What do you foresee his role being offensively?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, you have to figure out a way for Isaac to get 8 to 10 shots because he's very talented. You know, for Nebraska to do the things that they need to do, he needs to be better on the backboard and better defensively. You know, he's had a really good year, you know, offensively. He makes some shots and makes some plays that you know, we haven't had at that four spot since, you know, Mikey Moore, Vincent Hamilton. I mean, that's the talent that he plays with. But there's times that you know, weak side rebounds, things that, you know, being 6'8 and 240, he's got to make that play, and he's not right now. And against Maryland's athletes, against Penn State's athletes, you know, those are the things I'm looking for because, you know, there's a fine line for playing yourself into the tournament or playing yourself out of the tournament. And some of those big rebounds late in games are going to matter, and he's going to have to be a player to go up and get one.
Absolutely agree with you on that. That's what I've noticed. I've noticed teams when they've gotten back into games, because Nebraska's jumped out pretty well the last few ball games. It's either been Cope or Palmer's guy that's gotten going, and they've been so good on offense, they need to pay attention to it as much or more on defense. Overall, is there a number in mind that an over-under on three-point makes for Maryland that Nebraska keeps, they need to keep them under?
Well, I think the team that wins the three-point line will win tonight. I really do. Okay. I think that's going to be a key stat to watch. So if, you know, if Maryland makes, you know, 10 threes and we make 7, I think that tilts the scale in their favor. That, you know, they, you know, Horta is a very good three-point shooter for Maryland. So, you know, watch for that to be a key stat. I think it'll be a higher scoring game. I mean, both teams are coming off of limited prep time, having a Saturday game with a Tuesday game.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
All right, you've got less than 24 hours to make Valentine's Day right. Tomorrow during the day, it's time to go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. Tonight at halftime, it's time to see Rick and your friends. It's Sauter Heyman, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion around Weston, Grand Island. And Valentine's Day gifts, man, you can pick the right one and it can be remembered forever. And Sauter Heyman's been doing that for years. This year, they're featuring the Time and Eternity Diamond Pendant starting at $99. And you know what? She'll know how much you care when you give her the gift of time and eternity. Diamond pendant, time and eternity, diamond pendant, starting at just $99. Get to Sauter Heyman before tip-off, at halftime. Go see Rick, 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, around Weston, Grand Island. SauterHeyman.com, your headquarter for Valentine's Day. Okay, has that light come on for Roby? I asked Markowski. He just nailed the point with, well, he's not taking on the top defender. That said, I mean, we're not scoffing at 12 and 10 with what he's been able to do. But Coach Miles was asked about that yesterday. Is this a new and improved? Is this the new Roby you're going to see moving forward?
I think it's just a matter of time for Isaiah to be a known commodity nationally. He's got so much talent, and he just needs to stay confident, keep a clear mind, a focused mind, and he'll be fine. I believe he's gaining confidence. I think this entire team is getting more comfortable in where they stand, for what they're doing, how to play with the other guys, and what to do. And so that's good. I think we're continuing to play better basketball. I don't think we played our best basketball yet.
How many times have you heard a coach say, well, they just got to get confident? You just kind of, it's coach speak. It's true. You become a different player and person, man, when you believe in what you're doing and you feel like you can do no wrong and it's just flowing. That's what Roby's done the last couple of games. And he's shown flashes of it, and he's taken off. Now, the impact, has Roby's emergence, has it helped Copeland? And Nebraska's been dynamite a lot this year with the balance and multiple scores.
I don't know that it has as much to do with Isaiah as it does with Isaac. You know, Isaac, let's face it, he's coming off back surgery, right? And he's coming from a Princeton-style program on offense, which is, you know, your reads, you get to make reads, but the freedom is not like ours. And so I think he's just figuring out, getting healthier. And I think in the last four or five games, you've seen just small plays, how he keeps the ball from getting inside defensively, how he blocks a shot at a critical time, how he cuts on offense or makes the extra pass. He's a really good player. I think he's an underrated player amongst our guys. He's really, really good.
Palmer's been the takeover guy. Cope has been the hangover cure. When Nebraska's been in a funk this year, Cope's taken and made some big response shots. He's gotten some things going well with the mid-range. And he's gotten on a marvelous tear himself, but he didn't have to do all the heavy lifting against Rutgers like he did last time because he took that thing over on the road to get the road win. You know who's been really nice? Roby's getting the love, but Jordy's been wearing the hard hat. And that has been key because Nebraska's been able to maintain kind of their attitude in the paint. Here's Coach Miles on Jordy's emergence, what he's been doing. He's been great the last few games.
Really happy for Jordy. He and I watched film yesterday, and I found out right at the end my computer died on him. And he goes, well, Coach, I wanted to see my turnover. Really, all he wanted to see and hear was the play he had a turnover on. We're trying to do and put him in a better position, but I think since the valve came off and the pressure went out, he's been a more relaxed guy. He's letting the game come to him, not putting so much pressure on himself, and I just think that's great. I think he's only – see, and that's another guy I see as an emerging talent. I know Terry Pettit told me a long time ago, you can make a run and win big in national events if one of your young guys emerges. All of a sudden he starts coming on, you know, they pass the torch, so to speak. And Jordy really is one of those guys that, you know, could go out and get you between 8 and 14 any night because we know we've seen him do it in the past. And so we just got to keep him in that good place, and when we can go to him, go to him.
So true. And you've got a couple of guys that have different roles. And you had Anton do so well off the bench that he's kind of forced himself into that starting lineup. Taylor's been a beast off the bench. Now, you've had more struggles. In my opinion, there's been more games where Anton's been off than on. It's kind of like the three-run homer when you're already up 8-3, when his threes have been on in conference play. So if he hadn't on early, I go to Taylor immediately. And then also if Glenn stays out of foul trouble, great. If not, I mean, Thomas Allen, that dude's been ice water. And he's been more consistent, to be honest with you, when he's taken shots, he's made them. Not the volume that Glenn has shot. So it'll be interesting. Gil asked on Monday, cut 18 here, what it's going to be like tonight and moving forward. You're nervous about a matchup and the implications attached to Maryland-Nebraska tonight.
Yeah, I kind of like that we hold our own, no destiny. We went out, I'll be like, what, 8-9 games in a row, top four in the Big Ten. So, it's hard to look past that and not see a tournament team. So, I think that's kind of what we're looking at, too.
You had a shift by many from resume to eye test to ultimately that number at 22 or 23. That's the national folks. And there's a bracket out based solely on BPI. I think it's BPI. And that kind of comes down to your overall strength of schedule. Let me find the exact tweet here. What I'm saying about it here is this bracket, and Jay Billis retweeted this. It has Nebraska in as a 12 seed against Boise State as the play-in. Here it is. It was Jason McCallum. He's with ESPN. And what he says, here's the current bracket based on strength of record. And then BPI to determine the top 68. That has Nebraska in. Strength of record. So Nebraska's getting some help from the St. John's of the world, which is a good thing. But ultimately, it's in your own hands tonight. That tips off in about 15 minutes. Some of our affiliates down the line will have Nebraska basketball coverage for you. We'll have our predictions as 80s action star Colton Stone, myself, Chris Schmidt. Hope you're doing well. It's been fun to hang out and talk hoops and some college football tonight. We'll tell you who wins tonight with Nebraska and Maryland. That's coming up. And don't forget, tomorrow on the show, we'll have Jake Mielheisen, four-year captain for Nebraska. He's on the call tonight. Jeremiah Searles, all 2 hours in studio, co-hosting. But we'll have our predictor tonight. Nebraska-Maryland Hail Varsity continues after this.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay. Prediction time, Nebraska and Maryland. Let's hear from Anton Gill, though, cut 19. How's he approaching tonight? Him and his mates. Let's tip off shortly on BTN with Nebraska and Maryland.
Coach definitely talked to us about it and just said, like, we definitely hold our own destiny, you know, but we have to make sure that we get these games done, get the job done. We knew that, you know, if we finish on a high note and try to get that double bye in the Big Ten, you know that anything's possible. So
it's right there for you, babe. Keep playing in. Now, Colton, you and Danny have been subject to a lot of my predictions, and I'd say I'm not quite professional. That said, I'm more right than I am wrong. I've been wrong, and it's more so a jinx for the other team when I pick them. So I'm going to keep this thing classy, San Diego, and I'm going to go with Maryland because I've picked against Nebraska probably four out of the last five games. I think they're really good. I think they're talented. I think they're a tournament team. I think Maryland, as young as they are, finds a way, man, to just kind of ruin your night and send Nebraska basketball into a bit of panic. There's still plenty to discuss. We'll get to it tomorrow. We'll recap what happens tonight. But I think Maryland finds a way. I think they finally find a way to get a road win. I could be all wet on this, but I think Maryland does it 72-69. 72-69, the Terps break your hearts, at least for this next 48-hour period.
I think Andy was right. I think the three ball is going to determine who wins.
I think Maryland's going to hit more than Nebraska.
That's the issue, though, too, is Nebraska can't get – we've seen where they get settled into a spot where they think they have to keep shooting the three, and it ends up hurting them.
See, that's gone away.
But right, and it hasn't happened recently.
That bad Nebraska basketball has gone away with just, let's jack up a three.
Right.
Right?
So, I guess to keep the jinx going,
you're picking
Maryland, I'll pick Nebraska.
Right.
I do think it'll be high scoring. I think it'll be like a, I don't know, 82-74.
Okay.
So
you're going eight.
Yeah.
Say Nebraska by eight.
And I think, you know, you bringing up that Maryland hasn't got it done on the road, I think.
Why would they start?
Right.
Well, why would Nebraska all of a sudden stub their toe? Because
They're
Nebraska.
Why would they stop winning at home?
I, you know what? Maryland's been close. This is desperation for them. Mm. Same for Nebraska. Sometimes you get a little too comfortable.
Yeah.
At home. Fat and happy.
And the 6 o'clock may be a factor too.
I think that'll be all right, but it's gonna come down to threes. So enjoy the game tonight. Have fun. We'll chat about it tomorrow. Our favorite Viking, Jeremiah Searles, co-hosting tomorrow. Jake Mielheisen on the call will be with us. Plenty of football and hoops. Big thanks to Mitch Sherman. Big thanks to Andy Markowski. Big thanks to Rick Pizzo. If you missed any part of the program, you are always welcome to take us with at your convenience. The podcast with Hail Varsity Radio. Can log on hailvarsity.com or get to iTunes. Different interview setups are always available on the ESPNLincoln.com webpage or the ESPN Lincoln app. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for the time.